Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben, we're going to have to be really careful with our golf balls today because, boy, there's some breezy conditions to contend with. We've got gusts as high as 47 miles per hour. Yay, there it goes into the other fairway. 24 to 26 is out of the northeast, by the way, so it's going to be cool. And then those gusts as high as 47. We're going to have some isolated showers, which means it's not scattered showers. See, scattered showers is where it rains kind of like all over the place. Isolated, it kind of stays in one place. Yeah, I was trying to get it all together with this one. We have a chance of precipitation at 20%, so it could rain, but mostly sunny is the forecast, the high near 82 with those isolated showers. All right, what else do we have? Oh, business first, before we get to the fun stuff. The update on the crews repairing that 8-inch water main break, it's on Farrington between Ho'okele and Maipalaoa on the leeward coast. So if you're traveling to Waianae to play a round of golf, give yourself a little extra time. The right Waianae bound lane on Farrington is closed while they do the repairs, and motorists are advised to use alternate routes. That's kind of hard since there's only that one maiden drag, unless, of course, you know the back roads in Waianae. All right, speaking of going to a golf course, would you like to go and play around at Makalei? There's an 852 and a 928 and an 1110, and the Sunshine Boys are all going out. May you hit the sweet spot every time. We've got Volcano, an 832, a 910, a 1048. Beautiful Troon course if you haven't played it yet. And let's see, Kauai. The first 18 holes at Poipu Bay played yesterday. So you can play all 18. They've done all the things they needed to do in the bunkers and what have you. So at Poipu, there's a 920, a 1040, an 1150, a 1220. Kauai Lagoons has a 1006 and an 1120 and a 1218. And Hawaii Kai on Oahu, there's an 840 and a 10 o'clock. Turtle Bay has a 910 and a 1048 and an 1116. And the Frisky Biscuits, they're heading out on the golf course. I'm assuming this is a ladies group. Frisky Biscuits. Yeah, Nani agrees. So may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Eva Beach Golf Course, 836, 9 o'clock, 1136. So a lot of 36s there. Let me go that over again. Eva Beach, 836, 9 o'clock, and an 1136. And the Nurse Brigade is on the golf course. So, you know, everybody's safe there if something happens. May you all hit the sweet spot every time, Nurse Brigade. We've got Wailea, the Gold Course, 1050, 1110, 1130. The Emerald Course has a 1050, a 120. The Blue Course has an 840, a 920, and a 1040. And I just got to say, there's also an 1130. And let me see now. The Electricians Scratching are on. I'm not sure if I wrote this right, or is it the Scratching Electricians? They're going out. Who comes up with these names? All right, and then we've got the Single Guys. Really easy. Hey, Single Guys. At Maui Nui, there's an 848, a 944, and a 10. And yes, I have to say it again. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. That goes for everybody heading out on the golf course. There's nothing like the sound of the club coming in contact with that golf ball perfectly. It's absolutely fabulous. All right, I've got an absolutely fabulous show for you. Claude Brousseau is going to teach us something about this game. He's a master PGA teaching professional. Steve Pike, award-winning journalist, travels in search of the best resorts, the food, the golf, outdoor activities. He's going to join us. Michael Patrick Shields, the travel guru extraordinaire. Yes, we're doing a travel show, but Jeff Shackelford is with us first, author of 13 books. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Brought to you by Stretch Lab Hawaii. One-on-one assisted stretching sessions just like the pros. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. The gift that lasts forever. And the Sentry starts off the PGA Tour's 2025 season at Kapalua January 2nd through the 5th.
Jeff Shackelford, author of 13 books, publisher of The Quadrilateral. That's a year-round newsletter from one of the last independent voices devoted to all things Grand Slam and the best cup events. He was one senior writer, Golf Week and USA Today. Jeff Shackelford is the author of those 11 books, and his writing has also appeared in the Los Angeles Times, Sports Illustrated, Golf Magazine, Lynx, Golf Digest, Golf World, The Golfer, Golf Web, Golf Journal, rest in peace, as he says, The Masters Journal, Golf Course Architecture, Golf Architecture, Golf Week, Golf Digest Index, Golf Digest, Golf World, Golf.com. Wow. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff.
Yeah, what that really means is the media business is the tough one, Danielle, and writers get fired a lot.
I just thought you were chasing the money, up the...
No, well, yes, technically, yes. But laid off, I guess, would be the better way to put it.
Oh,
but,
laid off.
I'm happy doing what I do now.
Yes, I love... I mean, golf architecture for normal people. Sharpening your course design to make golf slightly less maddening. Is that still in print?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, it's only a year and a half old, so still very much available, mostly through Amazon. And
yeah,
it's gone well. I still hear a lot of interesting architectural analysis, and I feel good about the book because I try to really make architecture more fun, and sometimes it still gets pretty darn snooty and kind of sounding like wine nuts, and it can be a real turnoff. And I'm just always looking for ways to try to make the study of courses and the imagination that goes into them, or the imagination that goes into how you would redesign them, or why you want to know why you like one or don't like one. That's more interesting at this point in my life than the kind of wonkier details, which are important, but. We want to keep standards high, but there's also just real joy in being able to discuss courses. So that's kind of what the book was about, and I'm still very proud of it.
Oh, absolutely. This is available Amazon US, Amazon Australia, Amazon UK, bookshop.org, and Barnes & Noble. You can get this and it'll come right into your house. I'm not really here to sell his books, but I really like that. The title is perfect. It's Golf Architecture for Normal People. People who haven't studied and haven't built and haven't worked on them. For all of us who just go, And as you said, sometimes a golf course treats you nicely, and sometimes a golf course is like, why do you hate me so much? What's the deal here? And now you can kind of get a feel for, oh, this course, I have an eye for it. This course, I absolutely don't. What is it about that?
Well, obviously, a lot of golfers, and I've been there and been guilty of it. You judge a course on how you play it, and I'm hoping to try to help people step back a little bit and maybe separate some of those emotions from your analysis and ask, there's really just three basic questions, but they do speak to all these different things of the wonkier side of what really makes a course work or makes a really great design timeless. And what I've ultimately come back to and all this time is that we probably still have way too many courses that are not fun enough. And I'd like to separate score from, because the emotions that come with judging a course by, what you shoot there is understandable. But we would like architecture to be a little more big picture, I guess. And And to me, the great courses are the ones that, are fun to play every day, that make you want to get there, and that you can remember the holes. You know, they don't, and that memorability thing, you know, people always think, well, that means you must have waterfalls and lakes and over the top stuff. But memorability really comes more from actually the cool features, the subtle features, the quirk that's a little bit more understated. And you know, there's just a lot of parallels with movies and other artistic pursuits. So just trying to remind people of that too, because again, everybody can get really locked into their scorecard, as you know. And there's more to it than that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Another one of your books. This is interesting to me because I really would like to hear what you have to say. I think you're absolutely right. The Future of Golf, How Golf Lost Its Way and How to Get It Back.
Well, that was a while ago.
Okay. But have we gotten it back?
Well, it's quite a mixed bag, isn't it, these days?
Yes.
It's certainly, you know, the recreational game's thriving. And that's exciting, and it's for the right reasons. It's that people rediscovered the importance of being outside during the pandemic, and the beauties of a golf course and what goes into them, and the maintenance, and then all the fun of being a part of the sport. So that was exciting how that rekindled all that in people. And but yeah, there's still kind of a lot of underlying issues that are concerning, I think, that we need to be keeping an eye on. But all in all, it's pretty exciting that the explosion, I guess you'd call it, of the recreational games hanging in there.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's a lot of different factors. The golf industry's just gotten better at course maintenance or operations. You know, golf's usually a little bit behind when it comes to certain things. So, you know, booking tee times like you're talking about there, you can do that so much more easily, and you don't have to call and get on hold and then get some cranky person in the shop. And customer service and food are getting, you know, to really great levels at courses.
Yes.
There's amazing stuff going on here in my area. The courses aren't as well run as they should be, but the food and beverage operations are killing it, and they become these neighborhood centers now, which we've always known golf is, you know, a golf course is a valuable thing for a neighborhood, and a lot of people have never understood that for whatever, environmental reasons, green space. But they've always thought even the most basic muni is essentially a private club. So there's all these things we've kind of, you know, chipped away at the clothing and other fun stuff that I think's great. You know, it's just exciting to see that we sort of tore down some of those impressions of the game, but there's still obviously a way to go. And then this, and I'm teeing you up to segue to this mess in pro golf, has the potential to kind of influence how people view the game. But so far, thankfully, it's not affecting, you know, people's enthusiasm for going out and playing, and that's exciting.
That is exciting, and I'm so glad, because I was going to say, I see you went with the recreational players instead of, you know, the Lost Its Way goes to those professionals, and I just can't believe that the U.S. Ryder Cup team members will be paid $400,000 per team member. That's, you're playing for your country, guys. This isn't, you know, this is the Ryder Cup. It's not a PGA Tour event. What gives?
Well, it's very layered, as you might imagine. The PGA of America makes a lot of money on the Ryder Cup, and that bothers some players, and so I can see that. I'm not dismissive of their view of that. The problem is, one, we know that you know, through the years, success in the Ryder Cup has made or just even being a part of it has really elevated a player's image and reputation, and in many cases, it's boosted their game. Now, there are examples where people have had a bad Ryder Cup, you know, maybe like a Hunter Mahan, and it kind of hurt their career. But for the most part, we've seen people go there, hit these amazing, great shots under pressure, and it takes their game to a new level. So there are all these benefits. But again, you know, the PGA is charging ridiculous prices, and they make a lot of money on it, and the players want a piece of it. And they've been getting a charitable donation. What boggles the mind, Danielle, is that they just aren't more creative. You know, all these smart financial people could have come up with a way, a donation to the Tour Retirement Fund, which is they have a very lucrative program and things like that. There's a lot of ways, and just the timing is so gobsmackingly horrible. You know, they're right in this place where everybody's, you've had the conversations. People are kind of over their obsession with money, and they're just digging in on that topic instead of other stuff, like focusing on how to make their competitions better.
Yeah, this money thing with the game is making people very uncomfortable. It's like, who are you guys? You know, who do you think you are? You're not solving the Earth's problems. You're playing a game of golf.
Right.
Hello.
And that's
part of it. It's just ugly. You know, I it feels like gouging to me. But then again, when you look at the ticket price, $1,500 for a ticket?
Yeah. And that is really making quite a mess of the situation. I'm just not even sure they're aware of how bad it all looks. And by the way, it was a $750 ticket at a state park, a public facility. And, you know, everybody knows Bethpage is a public facility. And I was in touch with the governor's office. They don't care. The whole thing is very unfortunate, because I think it's certainly going to be fascinating to see how it changes the dynamic of the Ryder Cup, because this week we had Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry immediately come out when asked and say, I don't want to be paid. Now, the European side has a little different incentive. The Ryder Cup helps fund the tour and things like that, but they made very clear that's a secondary issue. They understand the privilege and the honor and the fun and the joy of being a part of the Ryder Cup. And, you know, they didn't say the other part out loud, but I'll say it. They know that. I mean, look at Ian Poulter. He's got four Ferraris.
Yes. Hello.
Especially in Europe, if you're a Ryder Cup hero, you have this legend status.
Exactly.
That we know from, so that part of it they get, but then they just also get how bad it looks in terms of the timing. And what's going to happen when the matches are there next year? Those Long Island fans, are they going to start rooting for the guys playing for country from the other side? I mean, it's just the whole thing is. And by the way, since this report came out from James Corrigan of the Telegraph this week, crickets from the PGA Tour, the American Players. So there's no reason to believe anything but the fact that the report is accurate.
Yes, it's accurate. I actually copied the whole thing so I could read it just in case I forgot something, because it's very in-depth. And one thing that I'm kind of confused about, I have no idea what SeatGeek is. You know, the gouging that they're being accused of. Now, the tickets are sold out for the Ryder Cup. And it was $1,500 or $1,300. Is that the right price?
Yeah, so I'll make it, because I wasted several hours of my life yesterday poking around on SeatGeek. So to justify my time, you made me feel good. So
good.
It's real simple. They have tickets for sale, the PGA of America, and they partner with SeatGeek, which is a resale site. But you know, there's, as we've learned from the Taylor Swift fiasco and different things in the concert business, there's there's some shady stuff going on behind the scenes, and unfortunately, the Senate had a bill to address some of them, and it just has fizzled for some reason. Very bipartisan support and all that, but yeah. So they had a ticket. With all the fees, it was $750 for the three match days.
Okay.
But then they announced this week that it was sold out. They expect us to believe that 40,000 a day paid $750. I don't believe it. I have no problem telling you that. Because on SeatGeek, which is an official partner of the PGA of America, you go in there, you can find pretty much an unlimited number of tickets for those days at a now higher price. And the problem is, of course, the everyday person who did try to buy a ticket was capped at four. And somehow these resellers, unnamed, but official, can offer you six. They can, you can come back and buy another six. So there's some stuff going on there. I think this is a, you know, it's a tactic just to make more money to hide more tickets on these sites where a lot of people buy tickets now for sporting events and concerts. So a lot of greed in action, and it's disheartening to see because it just isn't, it just, I don't know. I guess they need to make this much money off the Ryder Cup.
That's crazy. It's, you know, it used to be the Ryder Cup. So elevated, you know, it's the Ryder Cup. Now it's just another, well, here, one guy wrote on, I think it was X or whatever. This is a business, folks. Supply and demand. Try telling NFL.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the supply and demand, and that's what prompted me to go down this rat hole of studying who's selling these tickets. And you know, if you go over on a competing site, StubHub, it's not an official partner. It looks more like a normal thing. People selling tickets, different descriptions. You know, it's just more random. And so the supply and the demand lectures are going to be getting a little bit of a lecture back from me and my newsletter in the next day or two, because it looks like it's false and fake supply and demand creation. And
yes.
It's just...
that's ugly.
The other thing that's weird, it's just there's so many parts that are weird, Danielle. I mean, obviously, they have a great TV contract. The event is healthy. And now I just... stunned that nobody's in the room saying, hey, this looks bad, and then this could seep into the reputation of the matches, what you know, between the player pay and the gouging. So very strange stuff.
Very, very strange stuff. Yeah. It's see, another person wrote, people will say it's just capitalism, supply and demand, and so forth.
Yeah.
Maybe so, but it's precluding a lot of people from being able to experience and enjoy a Ryder Cup. It's pure and utter greed.
Well, and then you put it at a state park that's legendary for, you know, it's got five golf courses. It's had this amazing resurrection thanks to the USGA. Everybody's excited that the People's Course is going to be able to host this. And then the people who play there can't afford to go. I mean, and the green fee is $75 for them. I mean, it's one-tenth of what the retail price was of the ticket to play Bethpage Black. And by the way, a horrible spectating event, the Ryder Cup. You got four groups at a time the first 2 days. First, you know, Friday and Saturday, eight matches total, but four at a time. You just don't see much. And I've had people push back and go, wow, that's what the World Series is. Well, at the World Series, you get a seat and you see all of the game. So it's not a good value.
No, this is Jeff Shacker. All of a sudden, I can't pronounce your name, Jeff.
It's okay.
Jeff Shackelford, author of 13 books, but he publishes this really very, very, very cool newsletter. It's called The Quadrilateral. And that's where I was bumbled over your name, because I had to say, where did you come up with that name, Quadrilateral?
Well, it's great for warming up your voice. If you ever want to, you know, really type pre-show, just say that a lot. It's from a quote, that a writer from the New York Sun called labeled when Bobby Jones was pursuing the Grand Slam.
Okay.
He called it the impregnable quadrilateral, which, there you go, there's a real tongue twister. And so, yeah, I just wanted to focus on the majors, and that was instead of calling it the Grand Slam, I thought a little more sophisticated and fun name, and we just go with the quad, Danielle.
The quad.
It's a lot easier.
Oh, I like that. Okay, the quad is a very, very insightful newsletter. How do we get it?
Just go on Google and search quadrilateral or my name, Jeff, with a G, and golf. And you can sign up for free. I send at least half of every issue's, can be viewed. And if you want to pay me, you can comment and tell me what a cranky golf writer I am or whatever you want to say. But it's pretty easy to find on the old Google machine.
That's wonderful. Okay. And how many days to the Masters opening shot?
Oh, it's under 150 now. I can't remember the exact one, but it's not very far away.
No, it's only, I think
thankfully,
it's 141 days, I believe
there
it is.
You go.
Thank you so much. You know, I just cherish the time when you have time to be on the show. Jeff Shackelford, he's an author, 13 books. Look him up because he's got some really cool insights, as you heard today. Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to continue our travels with Michael Patrick Shields, Hollywood insider, radio talk show host, author, travel writer, you name it. He's here with us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
It's Aloha Powers Mower Magic Sale, featuring riding mowers from homeowners to landscapers. Warranties and delivery available. We take trade-in mowers. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Mowers, blowers, trimmers, generators, chainsaws. You want them? We got them today. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Aloha.
And we ship off island.
Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
Yeah, let me reinforce that. Hey, you know, it's that time of year. It's the hot fall sale at Aloha Power Equipment. Whether you're a homeowner or a supersized landscaper, when you got one of those things that you're wondering how you got it down the road, we've got the riding mowers of your dreams waiting here for you. And don't forget the accessories. From mowing to mulching and bagging, we make yard work easy. Mow it, blow it, bag it, done, and your back is still in one piece. You know, it's fire season, and I got to tell you, the fire warning, the weather warning, it's that kind of weather right now, and that's still in place until 4 o'clock this afternoon. So protect your property with the best tools around and, protect your neighbor. Are you on the Big Island? Are you on Maui? Are you on Kauai or Molokai or Lanai? Yeah. No worries. We ship off island just for you. New shipments rolling in daily. Tell them Danielle sent you.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Michael Patrick Shields, Hollywood insider, radio talk show host, author, travel writer, host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, one of the top award-winning syndicated talk shows. He's my travel guru extraordinaire. His base is Beverly Hills. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
Aloha, and I was just listening to your commercial, and I was putting in my own words, my own copy there, and mine was, whiff it, pull it, slice it, miss it.
Yeah, that's my game.
That describes my golf game. I like that commercial.
Yeah, I'm
such good positive swing thoughts, right?
Yes. That's really where you got to start off. You know, I keep going back to when we first met, Pro Tour Hawaii. Gosh, you know, they really tried hard to make that, or they didn't try hard. Something happened in the back room, kind of like the Ryder Cup thing going on right now. So weird. It's just so weird. We were talking about that with Jeff Shackelford. Yeah. So you are on 12 radio stations. You authored books from Donald Trump, Larry King, Arthur Hills, Ben Wright. I have to ask you something. When you interviewed Donald Trump, has he changed much?
Well, you know, that was some time ago before he was in the political world. Mm-hmm. And he did this book called Donald Trump, Best Golf Advice I Ever Received. So this was before even email, because they sent me a big envelope of Donald Trump stationery. And so I was meant to contact lots of his colleagues and friends and people that he knew and ask them the question, what's the best golf advice you ever received? So I only met him at in Palm Beach there for, I don't know, 5 minutes to take a picture and just say hi. And then the rest of the work was done by people like me who reached out to his friends and put the golf advice in the book. And his picture was on the cover, and there was about less than a paragraph written, quote unquote, by him.
Uh-huh.
And he did that with real estate books and golf books. And I did a little bit of work on one of the real estate books. So, you know, he's been on my radio show since he's become somewhat political.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know. I saw the other day that he said he's going to play less golf now that he's been elected, because there's a lot of work to do. I think that's probably smart, you know, but it's a tough call. You know, presidents, as you know, and I wrote the book with George Herbert Walker Bush called I Call Him Mr. President.
Yes.
Stories of Golf, Fishing, and Life with my friend George Herbert Walker Bush with Ken Rayner. And even Barack Obama, I think, said it, and George W. said it. When you're president, you're in such a enclosed, guarded situation that the only time you ever get to be more than arm's length away from anyone is at the golf course. Otherwise, there are people around you all the time, you know, even when they wake you up in the morning and everything. So golf is, you know, Donald Trump even said it last time, you know, some presidents play basketball, some like to work out, tennis. He says, golf is my thing. And you and I know that sometimes people attach a stigma to golf that it's for the elite or the wealthy, etc. And, you know, sometimes it can be expensive. But anyway, I was curious to see him say to his buddies that he's going to play less golf now.
Yeah, that is. It's a shame, because getting out and being on the grass, it just gives you a whole different sense of what's real about being on this planet.
Yeah. And I wonder, did Jeff Shackelford, did you talk about Rory when he said he would pay to play in the Ryder Cup?
Yes.
And he doesn't think they need the $400,000 or $600,000 or whatever it is, you know, to play in that one event one time a year.
You know, he said, like, they don't need that money.
Yeah.
These guys are millionaires. Plus, you know, I don't know how much, millionaires, you know.
Pretty relative, I guess, at that point. But yeah. If you were good enough to make the team, you probably made some cash along the way.
That's it, and, right there.
Who are we to judge? But, you know, maybe it would be okay to give back for 1 week.
I think so. That's the way it's always been. Why are we changing all of a sudden? You know, is it the PGA of America's fault because the ticket prices are crazy and everything is kind of weird and hinky behind the scenes with the tickets? I don't know. You know, so it's flabbergasting to me, because all it can do is...
Good, That's a good point. I think that's what triggered it, wasn't it? That the PGA of America was making so much money off the Ryder Cup,
yeah.
The players said, hey, wait a minute.
That's right.
Like, was it necessary? Was it necessary to charge that much for that?
$1,500, we're going to...
Yeah.
How many would you like? Or $750.
And did they have to put it at super expensive resorts?
You know.
In cases built for the matches? Is that necessary?
Yeah, you know, maybe if you wanted to leave out most of the population of America, you know, and just open it up for the, you know, the few who could afford it, and then you can hobnob with the few that can afford it, and maybe it's... it's so deep I can't even go there. It just makes me crazy that they're taking the one time in the year when you're playing for country. What happened to that? You know, it used to be, remember, well, the Olympics brings it out in us. You know, in the Olympics, it's the United States of America, USA.
Yeah. Well,
go.
It's sort of funny. Ooh. It's kind of funny, too, that when Britain and Ireland team, or European team, I guess it is now, when they win the trophy, it comes back home to Orlando.
Uh-huh.
Because they're all living there anyway. Lake Nona and the other place there where Tiger used to live.
Where Tiger used to live?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, what was that place called? Windermere or something.
Well, yes, you're right. Windermere, yes. Hard for me to keep up with all those rich names.
Yeah. Well, you're a woman of the people, and there was no charge to get into Pro Tour Hawaii, and those players paid every week to compete in those events. And
yeah.
That's what it's like at the grassroots level.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's true. Now, so you were in London for a minute.
Yeah, that's where we spoke last.
Right. And you're on to Venice, right? I mean...
Yeah, I was at the NH Collection Murano Villa on Murano, where all that beautiful glassware is made.
Yes.
They have a hotel right there, so you can just totally immerse yourself in it. And then I went on to visit the Ferrari and Lamborghini factories in Modena.
Yes.
And have a big bash with the IC Bellagio company there in Bologna. That was really cool. If you love cars, it's now marketed as the Motor Valley.
Motor?
And you can
really?
Go to, yeah, because they got Maserati and Ducati, and they've got... So the Ferraris, you can drive them. They have a test track and a Formula One race. And so Bologna area, the Emilio-Romano region, is now marketed as the Motor Valley. And if you're into cars, oh, mamma mia, it was fantastic.
I can only dream, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Did you drive one?
Even if you're not into cars, because being from Detroit,
yeah.
You'd think I would be, but I'm not a gearhead or anything like that.
Well,
but the fanciful, like, luxurious, excitement,
yes.
Exotic
yes.
Nature of it all, of these cars. You know, you'd be taking a tour of the factory grounds, and you'll see that they're more like laboratories, and the people who build them are like fashion Italian models that come out of magazines. And then once in a while, you'll hear one come rolling through the property with, you know, driving through with the engine. It's
yes.
Like it's like an animal got loose in the zoo, and it's like, wow, there it is. And it comes purring through there.
Oh, God.
Really, really fantastic.
Yes.
Really fun.
They're beautiful. I mean, and then if you sit inside one, it's just like,
yeah.
Oh. It's like
a
glove.
They have a test track. You can watch them. And I'm just saying, you know, like Bologna wouldn't probably be on the list of people who go to Italy for the first time or maybe even the fifth time. But if you're into that kind of thing, it's beautiful countryside. Also, the food there, you know, I didn't realize this, but if you have a balsamic vinaigrette, the only authentic original balsamic vinaigrette comes right from that city, Modena, and so they make it there, and and also, of course, the Parmigiano Reggiano is from Parma right there, too, so you can have a good culinary and automobile just feast in that area.
Let's go back.
Yeah. And on top of all that, I was there during the chocolate festival.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate and cars, you know? I mean, for me, that sounds like a wonderful journey. I'd love to do that. You said something, that radio has to be entertaining. What brought that to the fore? I mean,
did I say that? I guess I would have. I don't know what context it was in, but, you know, I like to think that you don't want to waste anybody's time when you have a radio show, and you got to have a smile with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they get enough preaching and they get enough talking points. So, I don't know, try to have a little fun with it and put some magic and some creativity into it like the old days. I think we're swimming in podcasts now.
Oh.
That everybody thinks they can do one until they try to do one. And the ones that are really still, not tight, sound like an old person, but the ones that still understand that it has to keep moving forward in an entertaining way are much better listens, it seems to me. I mean, you've been hosting this show now for, what, 25 years?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that right?
1999 is when we started the golf club.
So mm-hmm. Fuzzy math. What is that?
And it's almost 20, it's 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're better. You're better now than you were on day one, I'm sure. I mean, you were very good on day one, or you wouldn't have lasted.
Yes. You know, you get into it. I enjoy my conversations. That's the bottom line. You get to talk with someone who knows something about what you're interested in. And or maybe not, but then you get interested in what they're talking about because you don't know enough to, you know, it's a wonderful... So are you in Beverly Hills today?
I'm standing in Beverly Hills right now, and I just got back on the weekend from my first visit to Catalina Island, which I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a one-hour ferry ride on the Catalina Express from Long Beach, and you go right past the Queen Mary, and you're out there. And when we pulled into the harbor, I thought, wow, this is kind of like Hawaii. And specifically either Lahaina or Kona, it reminded me of.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of boats, and you get off the boat, and they've got, you know, the submarine you can ride or the parasail. You don't need a car. You can walk everywhere. If you want a golf cart, you can get one of those. Take it up in the top. There's a golf course that's the oldest in all of California.
Wow.
And it had, like, it wasn't perfect. It was like a little bit scruffy, like, you know what I mean? Like a little bit granola.
Yes.
You know, there were some mansions, whatnot, but most people live in the smaller cottage style places, and there were no chain restaurants or anything like that. And it reminded me a lot of Hawaii. There were people snorkeling and diving and whatnot. And so there were a lot of day trippers, and some people go for a night or two, but it reminded me of being, I mean, it was only an hour from the California coast, but it felt a little like Hawaii.
Yeah. You had beautiful photos on Facebook, I believe.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. And as soon as I saw them, it reminded me of Maui because of I'm not trying to say dry, but it's that kind of environment. So it's not foresty. It's more grassland. And that's what Maui is, more grassland. And it's just gorgeous. And the colors are just spectacular. And I've always seen Catalina Island from a distance. It was a place when I was, younger, way younger. It was a place where rich people went. So, you know, we weren't rich, so you didn't go to Catalina. And I think that's probably changed. People can go there and visit, right?
Yeah, now it's very accessible. It was Wrigley who started the whole thing, and the Cubs used to train there. And there's a monument to him and that kind of thing.
Wow.
But yeah, a lot of people go for the day, and they like to, you know, take their bicycles or, in some cases, golf clubs even.
Sure, absolutely. And what is the name of the golf course? Do you know?
Catalina Island Golf Club. It's 9 holes, but and it plays down into a valley, and then it's not long, but it's challenging. It's not boring. It's got a lot of cool angles and looks. You can see the ocean a little bit.
Wow.
It's sporty and fast and really fun and old school golf. And if you don't have clubs, they'll rent them to you.
Right on. Hey, and Michael Patrick Shields was on the front page of the Beverly Hills Courier. Wow. Dude.
Yeah, they put, they have, if you take the Courier with you around the world, it's still a print edition once a week here and also digital. And you, yeah, if you take your picture at some exotic place, they like to say the courier has traveled to Venice, and in that case it was the NH hotel there at Murano with the Venetian bridge in the background and all that sort of thing. And last night I got to see Jennifer Hudson again. She has a new CD out that just dropped yesterday, a Christmas or holiday CD.
Wow.
And she's doing a little concert tour with some of that holiday music too, and she was very sweet as usual. And tonight I'm at the taping of a Josh Groban concert here in Beverly Hills. That's really like a TV special, I think, is what we're making.
I'm so jealous.
Stay tuned for that.
Now, who were you with last night?
Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer
Hudson. Winner. You know her?
Yeah. No, I was like, and then you were sitting in the Sinatra booth with Super Agent Andrea Eastman. Is she handling your deals?
She was the casting director for The Godfather, and she worked with Barbara Streisand and Dustin Hoffman and Sylvester Stallone and lots of others. And so she's become a friend here, and so we go out and try different restaurants. And because of her, I've met Cindy Crawford and Katie Couric and Michelle Phillips. Last year I was at her Super Bowl party. And, you know, I did write a book once called Invite Yourself to the Party.
That's
and
right.
That's kind of what I'm doing out here.
Yeah.
And kind of what I do when I travel. And so Sunday I'm on a dating show of some sort for I'm nearly 60, so I guess it's a golden dating show. And then Monday, I'm back in your territory, and then I'm going to Scottsdale, Arizona, to play golf at Wecopa and the Fairmont Princess, where they have the PGA Tour event, the TPC Scottsdale. And also, we're going to Troon, which was like one of the big original desert golf courses there. Tom Weisskopf designed that.
Of course, you're going to be on the show, right? You got time to be on. You got time to tell us all about these things next week.
Sure. Yeah, I'll be next week. I'll be in Las Vegas after Scottsdale for that Formula One race that's going on there on the Strip at night. So it'll be a very exciting week.
Oh yeah. So we'll talk about the golf and the Formula One and all that stuff.
I'd be honored to talk to you again.
I'm always in just your lifestyle. The fact that you can go one, you know, you said once that that's why your marriage didn't last. It was all this, traveling a problem.
I think this is in lieu of an actual meaningful relationship.
I see.
I just have lots of them instead. But they're not torrid, just like the latest book, Travel Tattler. Less than torrid tales. They're sweet, fun things.
Say the name of your book again.
Travel Tattler, Less Than Torrid Tales. And you can get it at Amazon. And I did a book talk just the other day about it. And this is so cool. One of the people that was in the book club told me that they read about Casa de Campo, the great golf resort there in the Dominican Republic where Pete Dye is buried. And the woman said she asked her husband if he'd been there, and he said no. So she booked him a trip, and they're going to Casa de Campo.
Far out.
That is very flattering.
That's fantastic. That's Michael Patrick Shields, Hollywood insider, radio talk show host, author, travel writer, and host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields. And someone said that he's one of the most important people. Robert Dempster said you and your Big Show team are a true gift to Michigan's airwaves. Thank you so much for being a gift to our airwaves right here in the Aloha State. Thank you so much, Michael Patrick Shields.
I serve at your pleasure, Your Majesty.
Aloha. Okay, he's gone. We're going to come back. Yes, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the other side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
You've heard of Stretch Lab. We talk about Stretch Lab on the show. We've been talking about how stretching, you know, talk about going to play golf, stretching, fundamental to prepare or recover from golf. You want to have your muscles all ready to work. Introducing Stretch Lab Hawaii with studios now at Kahala Mall, Kailua by Foodland. The new studio, it's in the Kolua building, 1000 Awahi Street, a big, beautiful white building at Ward Center, and also coming soon to Kapolei. One-on-one assisted stretching sessions. It helps improve your swing and your flexibility. So important for afterwards, so your body didn't suffer. You'll move better, you'll feel better, and you'll play better. Tell them the golf club sent you. Stretch and mobility are yours at Stretch Lab Hawaii. You know, I want to get in here real quick because I've often seen in movies, you know, some guy comes through the door and there's a guy in a bench or on the, you know, on a bed, whatever, and somebody's pulling and they look over like, what are you doing interrupting? The stretching is fundamental to prepare or recover from golf, from running, any sport, really. Introducing Stretch Lab Hawaii. Studios, Kailua by the Foodland Store. Ward Village at Kolua, that's 1000 Awahi Street. And also in Kahala, that Kahala Mall, they're right there. And their new studio is coming to Waikele. And it's one-on-one assisted stretching, improving your swing and your flexibility and just your body and your feeling and your wellness. Tell them the golf club sent you and give the gift that feels so good. Yes, you could get a Stretch Lab gift certificate. Stretch and mobility. And by the way, it's not like, oh yeah, I'm stretching here. No, this is completely different, okay? Stretch and mobility are yours at Stretch Lab Hawaii.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Steve Pike, Spike on Golf and Travel. Steve Pike, award-winning travel, golf, food, sports writer, always looking for the next great story, the next great adventure. He's owner and editor of Spike's Peaks, like peaking, the art of travel. Award-winning travel writer defined golf business in the 90s for Golf Week, Golf World, Golf Shop Operations for the New York Times Magazine Group and Golf Digest. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Good. I mean, thank you for being here with me. And I was thinking about this. We're coming to the end of the year. Do you do a year in reviews?
Not really, because I don't chase PGA Tour events. My focus now would be more like on previewing what's coming in golf equipment, what we can expect to see. What we have seen the last couple of months is as the companies have introduced new product we might see in January at the PGA show.
Yes, yes. And so they're launching something called the Zero Torque Putter, square to square. Goes on sale in December, coming up really quickly. What is this? Is this from Topgolf and Callaway?
Well, it's from Callaway. I think it's part of the Odyssey line of Callaway putters. Basically, it's just a putter that is weighted correctly and it comes in various different kinds of, you know, head shapes that the weighting allows you minimal, if any, twisting at all.
Wow.
It's just another way to create a putter.
Right. Zero torque.
It's like most things in golf and golf equipment. It's not necessarily a new idea, but because of technology and the way people think today, you're able to almost perfect that sort of product.
So that's zero torque, being so it won't twist at all in your. And how do you know how they did that? Is that a secret?
They basically do it just by waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Just by waiting the head and the shaft together, and come up with different ways to do that. And I think the most important thing, though, to remember in any putter, whether it's an Odyssey putter, whether it's a Scotty Cameron putter, whether it's a $30 putter you get in the retail shop, is you need to have a putter that is fit for your length. I think most people use 34-inch putters when they should probably use 33-inch putters. Most people use putters that are too long for them, and they're not able to turn their shoulders and create that tick-tock motion that goes back and forth. So unless you can do that, it really doesn't matter whether it's zero torque, 100% torque, or whatever, because you're not being able to create that plane that gets you through with, like I said, that tick-tock motion that putting requires.
Yes, that is so cool that you should. You know, I do that a lot, and it's a lot with the arms and, as you said, the shoulders. You know,
and the shoulders,
yes.
And I remember talking a few times with Dr. Bob Rotella, who's one of the putting gurus on the PGA Tour, and Dr. Bob would stand like 6 or 7, 8 feet away from a player or from me or somebody and tries to describe the putting motion, and it's all really about feel and what he calls being out there. He would take, say, a baseball or a golf ball, put it in your hand, take somebody else, stand them about 6 feet away, and he says, "Okay, now just toss the ball from you to that person." Well, you don't think about that, do you? You just toss the ball, and it gets exactly to where it's supposed to be. That's really all putting is.
that's really all there is. We're making it way too complicated.
getting it from point A to point B.
Yeah. We're making it too complicated, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And things like zero torque putters and other putters, you know, take a lot of that complication out of it. But again, I would say, and it's certainly not an original thought, is you spend thousands of dollars, or people do spend hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars to get fit for an entire set of golf clubs, but they forget about the putter. And if the putter is not the right length, then the rest of the equipment is almost useless.
I totally, can you feel it, what he's saying? I mean, if you're, it's so long, you can't get it in a comfortable position. You want to get it so that you can really be a part of the ground in a way and part of the ball, you know, be the ball. Who said that?
Be the ball. And if you don't have really the right length of putter for you, you have a tendency to lift it up off the ground too soon instead of keeping it as straight back as you can, although it's impossible to keep it straight back, but you want to keep it along the ground. Most players will tell you as long as you can.
Yeah, wow. I was looking at some of the photos that you have on, you know, Facebook, on Twitter, and X. I probably will never make the transition to that. when Reynolds Golf, the colors in that photo that you posted on X, absolutely spectacular. Tell us a little bit about that course.
The new course at Reynolds Lake Oconee. Reynolds is a luxury golf community about an hour and a half outside of Atlanta. It's been around since the late 80s, I believe. This is the Richland course, designed by Tom Fazio, that opened a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Is the seventh course that the community has. It's actually a combination of one of Fazio's, nine holes of one of Fazio's other courses called the National, and nine new holes. So they just are at a time when everything, they're growing at a pace where they really needed a seventh golf course, believe it or not, because they have like 3,500 members within the golf members within the community, and the community is large. It sits along Lake Oconee. And so Fazio created nine new holes and carved and then basically renovated nine holes from one of the original one of his original courses, and created Richland, which is a very friendly course to play. There's a lot of Fazio type sand, but most of it doesn't come into play. It's got some great views along the water as it opens up around the fourth hole, and it's a typical, that's not the right phrase, but it's a typical Fazio course in that everything you see is right there in front of you. There aren't really any secrets to it. All you have to do is go out there and make the shots, it's another fun experience at Reynolds Lake Oconee.
That's nice. And you were talking with Tom Fazio about the sand, and he made some interesting comments
About there being too much sand.
Too much sand
in places.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he seems to think that some architects get enamored with sand and they put it in places where it doesn't really belong. And if it doesn't really fit the terrain correctly, or it doesn't really fit what you want to do in the design, you go ahead and put it in anyway, and all it does is create a worse golf experience and a golf course that's not really as good as it can be. So, you know, I think he's trying to use a minimal amount of sand or the correct amount of sand at each property, and a lot of that too depends on the costs and the budget that's involved.
And he says it's hard to maintain the sand.
Well, it is hard to maintain the sand depending on how deep the bunkers are, whether you have sod bunkers, whether you have capillary bunkers, whether you have bunkers that are susceptible to a lot of wind, whether you have ones that are just susceptible to a lot of water and drainage problems and those kinds of things. And when you have those challenges, then all you're doing is basically digging deep sand holes, and then you have to go in and spend a lot of money renovating those greens because the sand is not. You created a bunker that doesn't flash in the right direction, let's say.
Yeah.
All you've done is create when the wind comes in, all it does is blow all that sand out into the fairway or onto the green, something like that. Or, you didn't put in capillary bunkers where you should, and the drainage is bad. You know, those kinds of things. So you have to be very precise about not only where you put the bunkers, but how you create them and how you allow them to drain.
Wow. Yeah, and it's hard for, you know, the average golfer, the recreational golfer. It's difficult to play the high handicapper. The good players, you know, they don't care. Sand? Oh, yeah, that's a great place for me to come out of.
Sure.
You're like, oh.
And that's where I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's where a lot of courses today, particularly new courses, say like Panther National, that's a Jack Nicklaus and Justin Thomas course that opened about a year and a half ago down here in South Florida, or some renovated courses. I think Richland is a good example of that, where golf course architects today, they're being able to create golf courses where you might have six sets of tees. Each set of those tees corresponds to a different landing area in the fairway.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Therefore, say somebody who's playing from the back tees you're not going to land it in the same area as someone who plays from the forward tees, and that's where all the bunker and the design work and the pinching and where you make the contours of the fairways. That's where you have all of that work together.
See, you see how much thought goes into making a golf course and what you do with the golf course and how you set it up.
It's not birth full grown, that's for sure.
No. Pueblo Bonito, the sea
Pueblo
turtle.
Pueblo Bonito, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I loved that photo you took, the sea turtle sanctuary.
Yes, that's down in Cabo, where there's a lot of sea turtles, and particularly in that area because there's a lot of tourism and a lot of people and a lot of development. The Pueblo Bonito Resort has sort of taken it on itself to protect really what's one of the last great sea turtle areas in North America or South America. I guess it's still in North America. But you can go out and swim with the dolphins, swim with the sea turtles and everything. But you know, it's really their world. We're just kind of borrowing it.
Yes, it really is their world. We're visitors. Hello.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've got to take care of them.
I was at Jekyll Island not long ago in the northwest or the southeast side of Florida, and saw an alligator they've named Solomon. He was over 12 feet long.
Wow.
And, you know, I asked a naturalist, I said, well, where does he go? And he's like, well, wherever he wants. Because Jekyll Island is a state park. So there's really not a whole lot you can do about him. He's there and you have to, it's his world and you have to deal with him.
Yeah, just step back.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, don't hit your ball to where he is and you'll be fine.
Yes. As he eyes it could be an egg, you know. But he's probably figured out that those round things are too hard and they're not eggs.
Well, yeah. I think over the years he's seen a lot of people, so he's not really he doesn't really care too much. But when you're a 12-foot-long, 400-pound dinosaur, you really don't care too much.
I love it. Something that Steve Flesh said before we go into Top Golf, Callaway, and what's going on with that. Boy, that's a sad thing. Steve Flesh, I can't stand what has happened to the modern professional game. The product has become gaudy, greedy, robotic, stale, painfully slow, and boring. Maybe we need club-thumping music, golf carts, and shotgun starts to spice it up. That sounds interesting.
Well, it does, but some of that stuff is just the world of professional sports. And golf, probably more than any other sport, does not like disruptors. And anything that really reeks that of more money or they would consider greed is a disruptor. But really all it is professional sports, and professional sports is all about money.
Mm. What about the Ryder Cup?
You mean should the guys get paid to play it?
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? They're professional athletes. Okay. Baseball players get paid to play in the All-Star game. Football players get paid to play in the Pro Bowl. What's the difference? If you're a professional athlete, you deserve to get paid for your services.
Interesting. Okay. But I mean, it's
it comes down to the world of professional golf. Do you want to live in the world of professional sports, or do you want to live in a world where you think you're somehow holier than thou above professional sports? Well, then if you want it to be in that world, then don't globalize it. But that dog's already left. So you have to deal sometimes with people you don't want to deal with, and do things that might be contrary to what you believe. But if you're going to be a professional sport and tout your players as professional athletes, then you need to treat them as any other professional athlete.
You know, I'm kind of on the other side of the fence on this one. you know, I'm kind of into having them play for a country. I just take the money out of something. I'm just getting tired of money ruling, you know, the ruling. And yeah, I understand.
As I would say, welcome to the world of professional sports.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, everybody wants to know why, you know, we can't keep up with the NBA and the baseball and all everything. We're not NFL. I don't know. Let me just close with the thoughts on Top Golf Callaway, because okay. Top Golf is something we were really looking forward to having here in Hawaii. Of course, it never came, but their shares have dropped down to. Went down to 829 and then closed at 840.
Yeah, 823.
Oh,
823 on Friday. Yes.
Yes. What are they going to do?
Well, we don't know yet. There's what they say they're going to do, and they're committed to doing it, is to splitting off and separating the companies, making one company Callaway Golf again, and making another company strictly. Topgolf. Now you can do that by spinning off Topgolf into an IPO, with Callaway probably owning a lot of that or a significant part of that IPO, or you can just sell the company outright. The problem is, either way you look at it, your Topgolf is more than $500 million in debt, really, and struggling right now. With same venue sales quarter to quarter, particularly on weekdays. So even if you were to spin the company off, which would in theory eliminate all, you use that IPO profit or that IPO money to eliminate all of that debt, and say start an even record book. Or even an even ledger, you're still talking about a company that probably will not make too much money, if make become profitable at all, unless it figures out a way to grow itself among a customer base that is not familiar with it yet, and that's a tough sell. Wall Street. For ever since March of 2021, when Callaway closed on Topgolf, Wall Street's always been skeptical of Topgolf and punished the stock, basically, because it does not believe in the sustainability of Topgolf. And right now, Topgolf or Wall Street's proven to be at least partially correct.
Wow. Well, this is something, you know, we keep on watching. It's such a great idea. I just don't know where, you know, maybe they grew too fast. I just, it's weird. It's really a pleasure talking with you. Steve Pike.
Thank you, Danielle.
You're welcome. Steve Pike, Spike on Golf and Travel, award-winning travel, golf, food, sports writer. Always looking for the next great story, the next great adventure. And you can find him on Facebook and on X. And where can we get your books?
Well, I'm currently writing my only book right now with my friend Mike Clemming, who's one of the best golf photographers in the world. We're cooperating with the National Golf Foundation on a book called Golf is Life, which we hope to have digitally and in print sometime early next year.
Fantastic. I thought you wrote Spike's Peaks, The Art of Travel, right?
But that's not a book. I'm sorry, I might have misunderstood you.
Okay.
My website is called spikeongolfandtravel.com.
Gotcha. spikeongolfandtravel.com. And we're going to have to talk about the book you're writing. This is great. I love the title. Thank you.
Oh yeah, it's going to be it's been a lot of fun so far.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Steve. Aloha.
Thank you.
We're going to come back. We're going to get a lesson from a master PGA professional. After this, Claude Brousseau. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club. K-O...
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
It's Aloha Powers Mower Magic Sale, featuring riding mowers from homeowners to landscapers. Warranties and delivery available. We take trade-in mowers. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Mowers, blowers, trimmers, generators, chainsaws. You want them? We got them today. Aloha Power Equipment, Evilay, next to Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Aloha.
And we ship off island.
Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu. All right, the hot fall sale. It's the hot fall sale, even though it's kind of cooling off. No, not in the Aloha Powers world. At Aloha Power Equipment, whether you're a homeowner or a supersized landscaper, you've got the riding mowers of your dreams waiting at Aloha Power Equipment right now. And don't forget the accessories, from mowing to mulching and bagging. We make yard work easy. Mow it, blow it, bag it, done. And yes, I'm always thinking about my back, because it's going to take care of you for a long time. Take care of it, your back. Remember, it's still fire season. In fact, we have a fire weather warning that's in effect until 4 o'clock this afternoon, the last time I checked. As a result, we need to be very, very careful. It's still fire season. Protect your property with the best tools around. Protect your neighbors. Live on a neighbor island, maybe. Oh, no worries. No worries. We ship off island just for you. So whether it's Lanai or Molokai or Maui, Hawaii Island, Kauai, Aloha Power Equipment is there for you. New shipments rolling in daily. Tell them Danielle sent you.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
The Golf Club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brusseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea, Maui. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. And, you know, this is always news from Claude. I'm fascinated by the new certification with Sportsbox AI. What is this?
It's so cool, Danielle. So that's a new software that's been around maybe for a couple of years. I discovered it last year when I went at the PGA show in Orlando. So basically, for us, coach, and then with just using your iPad, let's say when I do a video of the players, let's say I will video you front view, and then the software will create a 3D avatar of yourself.
Wow.
And then with, yeah, just like this, it's instant. And then it allowed us to look at different part of your body. We know, let's say, as an example, how much your hips will turn, how much your chest will turn. And then we can, at the bottom, we have kind of a little square box there that we can click on it. And then immediately we can compare you for against the best players. So it's so cool, Danielle. And then the avatar itself, we can move it in all kind of direction. So I will be able to see you from the top. Like if I had a camera on the top of your head, I'll be able to see you like if I had a camera in the ground, up that way. Then we can see you, let's say, from the target, like when you're hitting the ball, or face on view, or down the line view. It's such a great tool.
So Scotty Scheffler, is he involved in this?
I don't think Scotty is involved with that, no.
Okay. I was just reading about, in Sports Illustrated, in the print edition, they analyzed Scotty Scheffler's...
No, that's what happened with Sport Illustrated is that they just, the director of publishing for a golf section, they called me and they asked me to analyze Scotty Scheffler's footwork.
Wow!
So... Yeah, so it was published a couple of days ago in their print magazine. So it's available in the print magazine, but it's also available on their internet, electronic website.
Yes.
So basically, it's a very interesting paper because they look at different athletes in different sports that they have unusual way of doing stuff. It's so cool. They have a Caitlin, that very famous basketball lady player.
Yes.
So she has apparently, I'm not a basketball guy, so knowing, but apparently she has some move that is very unorthodox, I will say. And then they have a hockey player, then they have a Scotty Scheffler, and then they asked me to analyze his footwork, how come it's unconventional and why it's working well. So it's available in Sport Illustrated. If you go on the website, I'm sure you will see the article, or you can buy the print magazine, and it's about... So that was cool.
Yes. I mean, Sports Illustrated calls Claude Brousseau, our master PGA professional right here in Hawaii, and says, could you please analyze Scotty Scheffler's foot action? Just the number one golfer in the world. And it's going to be, it's in print, it's online, it's, wow.
Yeah.
That is, I can't wait to read that. Well, when I read it, and I'll be able to actually intelligently ask you questions.
You always ask me very intelligent questions,
We'll have to save that for the next show after, I'll be able to do some homework. Now, you also went to the Aloha ASPG,
Aloha Section PGA Teaching and Coaching Summit.
Thank you.
So that was on the Big Island at Hualalai on October 26 and 27. Every 2 years, the Aloha Section, we do a Teaching and Coaching Summit to help, the coach here in Hawaii to get better and be exposed at top coaches in the world, basically. So it was great to see Rick Sessenhaus. He's the coach of Colin Morikawa for quite a few years. I think he met him when he was 8 years old.
Wow.
And Rick is really about his academy's Flow Code Academy. And then it's how can you perform better with making more flow in your swing? So it was very interesting.
I bet. And so that's what the Flow Code is all about?
Correct. So quickly, it will be like when you want to play, you need the triggers to make your body do what you're supposed to do. So as a quick example, you can look at the situation either as a threat or maybe as a challenge.
Okay.
Kind of a, it was interesting. He was giving an example. Your listener will like that, and you too. He was giving the example, at the master on the practice round, on the 16 hole, that par 3 with the water. So on the practice round, the guys are kind of skipping the ball on the water and see if they can put it on the green.
Oh, yes. Wow.
So they have fun. They kind of have a side bet, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you see, having fun and see that more kind of a challenge. Yeah. But Sunday afternoon, if you lead the tournament by one shot, that same hole, same situation, probably your brain and your body will act differently with the same exact same hole. So we need tools as player to format, I will say, or look at the situation from a different point of view to be able to perform. And he gave us tools to do that. So it's great. It was great.
Yeah, there's nothing like being inspired in something like this. And Scott Lynn, PhD, kinesiology, oh. Cal State Fullerton, he must have a swing catalyst.
This guy is so interesting, Danielle, because we hear that all the time. You know, the players are using the ground force.
Yes.
And how to maximize the speed and all that. This guy is one of the best in the business about explaining for us, coach, so we can help you, listener, and the general public golfer, how they can generate more speed, more distance, obviously. And it's so inspiring when you see the top in the profession make it, I would say, accessible or available for us, coach, that we have more knowledge to help the players to have more fun and play better with this great game that we love so much.
Exactly. Claude Brousseau, 2024-2025 Best Teacher in the State of Hawaii by Golf Digest, third time in a row. PJ Master, Golf Digest Instructor, V1 Sports Coach Ambassador, Sportsbox AI Certified, Flight Scope Certified Professional, Aimpoint Level 3 Certified Instructor. Are you still taking students?
Oh, yes. And talking about that, I'm so excited, Danielle, because, and then I did a post on my Facebook and LinkedIn about that. This week, I had my oldest golfer ever for the full swing. He was 96 years old.
Wow.
Isn't it cool, Danielle?
Yes.
Name me another game that you have a player, of the game, any other game, that at 96 will still be able to play and have an open mind to say, I will take a lesson because I can still improve my game of golf.
That's right.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah. Bravo. I want to be 96 like him or, whatever.
That's just so exciting.
Yes, it really and truly is. Claude Brousseau, yeah. We need to wrap. We need to talk. It's been so long since you've been on the show. So we need to figure out another Saturday that works for you in the near future. Can you do that for me?
Of course. Anytime, Danielle. So wrap it up and then just keep doing the good stuff you do. And then if people want to see more of my stuff, they can go on my website, Claude4BestGolf.com. And I look forward to see them on Maui.
Right on, Claude4BestGolf.com. And Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club is brought to you by Stretch Lab Hawaii, one-on-one assisted stretching sessions, just like the pros get, to improve your flexibility and your swing and actually stretch. It's not what you think it is, like stretching at home. At Kahala Mall, Kailua, the new studio at Kolua on Oahu Street in Ward Village, and opening soon in Kapolei. And it's Aloha Powers, darn hot. Fall sale, yes, indeed, but it's cooling, thankfully. Riding mowers from the homeowner to the supersized landscaper, they're all in stock. Mower accessories galore, available. Yes, mow it, blow it, bag it, you're done. Let your equipment do the work faster, smarter. And you can get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, Evilei, next to the Costco gas station. Or I was just thinking about in Waipahu as you're driving down Farrington Highway going in the westbound direction. Go just past Waipahu Street and then Waipahu Depot Street. And then you turn, make a U-ey because you've got to get over in the Eva bound. You need to go Cocoa Head bound so you can make the turn right into Aloha Power Equipment or just go down Oahu Street in that area. You'll find them too, of course. The Aloha Section PGA, thank you. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts a lifetime. For self, health, friendships, go golf. And the Century starts off the PGA Tour's 2025 season at Kapalua's Plantation Course, January 2nd through the 5th. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.